Welcome to Subject Object Verb. I'm your host, Ross Simonini, and today's episode will feature Joanne Robertson, an artist and writer who makes work through improvisation. For many artists, improvisation can be part of the compositional process. You don't know what you're doing until you do. But Joanne never closes off the composition in this way. She allows the work to remain open and improvisatory at all times. When she's performing live, these songs are either wholly or partly composed in that moment. Sometimes, to do this, she uses vocables, which are vocal sounds that have no meaning.
It is not my fault, so I don't bother helping.
The improvisational tradition is bound up with collaboration, and Joanne often improvises with other musicians. One of her regular collaborators is the musician Dean Blunt, whose naked baritone is the perfect counterweight to Joanne's hazy melodies. This track is off their album called Wahala. Joanne's most recent release is also a collaboration with the artist Sidsel Maneka Hansen, who plays a vacuum cleaner. I spoke to Joanne about the improvisational nature of her music and her paintings, which she arrived at through the intuitive methods she invented as a teenager. Later on in life, Joanne was dumpster diving for art materials, and she met a woman named Karen, who was the wife of the great improviser Derek Bailey, who you're listening to now. Karen gave Joanne a copy of Derek's seminal book, Improvisation. This is a track by Bailey that Joanne recently sent me. Joanne and I also talked about how the notion of improvisation may or may not translate to painting. Her paintings are loose and intuitive and powerful, like her music. And while she's making them, she often listens to some of her favorite improvisational music, like this track by John Coltrane, which she puts on often, and which helps to create an improvisational atmosphere in her studio.
Improvisation, I guess, for me, has always been a part of how I play. So, like, even when I was playing with, say, Tom Greenwood from Jackie O Motherfucker way back, I would play. That was at a time when maybe I was sort of doing music and not painting quite as much. But I started to play shows with my shoes and stuff and, like, different objects and things and, like, just to slide down the guitar and things. So, for me, I've just always improvised. So I always recorded from a young age, just play. I think improvisation's a funny word because I'm sure that's how everyone writes music. They just start playing. They don't sort of write it down, do they, necessarily? Like, as a teenager, I would just press record and just start playing most days. And I think that's how I learned to write songs. Because if you listen to my solo stuff, they are quite songy in a strange way. They're quite, like, you know, I'm learning them back actually at the moment to play live, which is kind of not improvisatory. But within that, I'm trying to figure that out because that's always a problem for me because I do like to hear a song, you know. I go through different stages. So for the last few years, I haven't been writing tons of songs. I've been just playing tons of piano, like just jamming a lot. There usually is a little like lyric book, you know, bits of words and stuff sitting around. And then I would just start playing things and like play them over and over again. And then, or it would just be the first take that I would do, you know. So, yeah, those, the stuff I've done recently and what I'm doing now, what I've just done today is I just started playing actually before we started talking, and it was, could be a new song, but I was, you know, didn't have any lyrics, just had the guitar detuned and just started playing. But the learning the songs back is problematic. I know this. I don't know quite how to deal with this. In a live context, I think the best thing to do is to try and like part improvise them live, part play the song. Breastfeed whilst up on this podcast. Sorry. Is that okay?
I'm comfortable with it, yeah.
Baby. Sorry, world. He just wants to play with the microphone. I don't think he wants to feed. Do you want to feed?
He wants to feed on the microphone.
It isn't like I'm just sort of randomly saying stuff, if that makes sense. They come from lots and lots of poems that I've written before and thinking about poetry and stuff like that.
Thinking about poetry and thinking about music and art all through the lens of improvisation seems fun to me.
Yeah. I mean, Anne Sexton and, you know, Sylvia Plath, sorry, but it's a bit of an obvious one, but the way that they would maybe deal with language is that it's very, very, it feels very immediate to me and restless. And I love that restlessness in poetry that you can have, which is really, you know, linked to how you're feeling and what you're doing with your day rather than an idea of what you think a good artwork is or a good poem is. I like that immediacy.
You said you moved away from figurative painting after becoming sick of it at some point. And I wonder if that has something to do with this, you know, whether painting figuratively is a bit trickier to do in an improvisational way.
No, I think it's, well, for me, I can paint figuratively. It's just like, I can just start doing it and things come out. But then it's, what you're saying is so true. It actually, yeah, because it becomes fixed. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
But I get sick of like the hand, the hair, the face, the car, the objects, you know. I get sick of like this recognizable thing. I liked it to just be the line to sort of suggest those things, maybe. Yeah, I like it to feel like something because the forms or the way I see things, it's not like, oh, there's a hairdryer. It's like, for me, it's just like a big, like a weird black object in the corner of the room, you know, but right now. It's just if you were to pick it up and look at it and think about it, it becomes, do you know what I mean? I guess I read a bit of Being in Nothingness or something. Like, I mean, I try to read philosophy and take it in, but it definitely does make sense in that way that it's the way you kind of look at it. Or am I making sense? I don't really want to over-explain what I just said. because it maybe would sound pretentious, but yeah, like I'm looking at something now and it looks like a like loads of leads and kind of pedal, and it just looks like this really interesting shape. I mean, I'm more interested in those kind of shapes that aren't so obvious, perhaps, or maybe a sort of almost close-up dreamlike experience of looking. Young, I didn't even use words. I would just use sounds a lot with singing. But then someone told me about the Cocteau Twins, and then I stopped because I thought, oh no, it's too like that. But I didn't mean to be like that anyway. I was just spaced out or something. I don't know what was going on. But I didn't mean to be so abstract, but I was naturally drawn to that way of expressing myself. And then what I learnt is, I don't know, my favorite artists often don't try to be too one way with their work. There's often this kind of movement in it that I'm drawn to. But then I really love really slick conceptual stuff. So it's a hard one to explain. I think even with conceptual things, I like it when it's like messy or open. Like, say, like Dan Graham or someone who's just passed away, sadly. I saw his lecture once and it was really beautiful. Yeah, that openness I really like. I guess I don't really like to think too much about whether or not I'm being a good person all the time with the work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree that we shouldn't be morally policing ourselves all the time to make sure we're doing the right thing in the work, because that would end up with some narrow options.
Yeah, I mean, some people do, that's what their work is, much more like that. I've had some conversations with people and they find it kind of strange how in my own world I am, which I think's quite interesting, because I don't try to be like that. I just guess I can be a bit in my own world.
Can you think of artists who express that in their work?
Maybe people that don't make stuff, they make more sort of projects with other people, and they don't make objects or, you know, paintings. I mean, I make paintings and songs, so that's it. But it's not like I just look at paintings and songs as references, but as well, I do other things.
What other things?
But I don't know. You know, I like don't shout about things that I do, but all the time. It's not like everything is art, you know, in terms of what you give out.
Do you feel as if something else though?
Relationships and things are important, I think. And just how I am in general with people, I try not to just be. Yeah, I think I try to be kind and open. Yeah, I would say I do try to be like that. I was in this duo called Blood and Feathers, and we did stuff at the ICA and things and museum-y type things when we were really young. Then I started working with a gallery, and then I sort of stopped because the gallery closed. because it was Isabella Blow, don't you remember her, and her husband, and Pablo de la Barra. But it was really great. It was really fun working in that gallery. She died, and then things changed, and I don't know if it was going to change anyway. But then I went towards music. But I'd done quite a lot of art stuff when I was quite young, when I was like 20, in my 20s, and then I've kind of gone back to it. I like to just hide in both worlds, if that makes sense. I don't like to be just doing exactly the right thing in both worlds. I think that's my thing, is not to do, not having to feel like there are any rules. And then I feel like I can work. Then I can paint and make music and stuff, and then go back into those worlds, but not with so much. I think it's good for me. It was always good to have music and art together, to have these different places to escape. And then the two come together in this way, which is really nice. As I've grown older, the two seem to be connected more.
In what sense?
I don't know. It feels like maybe I've made some of the things I'd like to have made or something, and that I feel comfortable with them both. Whereas before, when I was young, I think this is what I'm trying to say, is I was drawn to one and then drawn to the other. And music definitely felt like you could be, it was more maybe that I wanted to do music and I wanted to do painting, and it was hard for me to do them both. But I did go and do them both. And then now it feels like I can do them both together because of the thing, you know, the kind of, the context is more developed, my own context. Just by doing, you become somehow the thing you want to do, rather than just saying, oh, I want to do both, you know, I want to do both. I had to kind of sit down and play tons and tons and tons on my own and not talk to anyone and just play. And same with the painting, really. I had to like get in the studio and work on things rather than just say, oh, I wanted to do something. So that's one of the good things about getting older, I think. Is that you're kind of like, oh, I have made things that actually make sense to me now, maybe. Yeah. When I was younger, it was still, like, I was drawn to things that were outside of myself more. But now maybe I feel like I've made some things that make sense, yeah. Like, singing is very similar to painting for me, you know. It's lyrical. I definitely sort of almost sing in my head when I'm painting, but it's a different kind of song. It's more critical, but then there's a conversation going on, which is, I mean, often that conversation becomes very quiet and nothing happens, and it's very, very much just the painting that's happening. But it'll start similarly to maybe how I approach a song. I mean, I think about music in quite an abstract way too. Like, I think about it like it's just a term, you know, but sound is everywhere somehow. Painting has this, it's almost like the end of the road. It's like the thing, it's like almost like a, I mean, it is like a wall, isn't it? That you're confronted with this wall. I think people struggle to understand why paintings exist. And I'm kind of interested in not trying to defend that and still doing it. I know that sounds a bit cocky or something, but I'm not being cocky. I just mean, it's just like, it's that to me, and it's is the problem sometimes, is that, you know, it's hard to communicate why painting still works. But, you know, painting for me is, I would say painting for me is very spiritual, definitely. Like, I just completely break down with paintings. Completely. It's just amazing. It unpicks me and just puts me back together in this really pretty way, where I'm like, whoa, that just made total sense, and I don't quite understand. I mean, maybe it's because I've been studying it for so, you know, as well, and that I know about it, that it becomes this kind of part of you. But I think it's more than that, because I was drawn to it before I studied it in that way. So, I mean, you can break it down to very formal parts, you know, aspects. And that's always really interesting too. But when you're actually making it, don't you think the best work kind of just comes out often?
Of course.
So trying to understand that is, to me, really interesting. And maybe that's a part of improvisation I'm interested in.
think about improvisation in your daily life?
Yeah, my mother-in-law said that I like things to happen to me, she's noticed. I like to sit and be in the mix of things and then things happen to then respond to rather than to instigate something in an organized way. I mean, I think life just is improvisatory. It just has that element to it. But on the street as well, and just like everywhere, it's just, I mean, as an artist, unless you have a strict studio practice, I guess some people have a very strict studio practice where they go in and work, you know, I don't really work like that. I guess just being in the world has that energy for me that I then take it into the studio rather than maybe being more organized. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm quite tidy at the moment. Things look quite tidy around me, but improvisation is a complex word, isn't it? Because it's not to do with chaos necessarily, but allowing is a word often used, I think, amongst my friends and I. So allowing, I was thinking about before we spoke in the bath as a term, allowing.
Thank you for listening to Subject Object Verb. To close out the episode, here's a Townes Van Zandt track that Joanne recently sent me as an example of some of her most beloved songwriting.
But she came and she touched me with hands made of heaven. Reflections since spinning through a face laced in mist. Now I stand where she left me, buried deep beneath her shadow, and the mirror pleads sadly, has it all come to this? And I wonder, will she call my name?